Let's open our Bibles to Luke 14. I don't know if any of you have ever gone to a wedding or to a special dinner, but sometimes you come in and there's a little table, and what does it have on the table? Little cards, right? And you look for your name, and you hope that the number isn't too high. You like to have a low number, like 1, 2. No, I don't know. But that's so people know where to sit, right? And they know what table they're assigned to. And I don't know if you've ever had to make up the list of where people should sit, and you wonder, well, these people like to sit with this one, and who should we put with your great aunt? And right, hon, you remember that? And then when they get their seats, they're not always happy. At our wedding, we had a room that was, it was a little different, I guess. It wasn't a big open room. It was kind of a little bit U-shaped, and some people could see better than others, and I don't know what they were looking for, but I guess they wanted to see the bride, right? That's what they were looking for. Yes, of course. And I'm sure some were not happy where they sat. But we all can relate to that, I think, a little bit. And so today's story is about being invited to a wedding. But let's begin at the first verse of the chapter and just get the setting of this parable that Jesus gave. And let's start with Sister Liz on this side. This morning we'll read verses 1 to 14. Sister Liz?
Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy.
Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?"
But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away.
Then he turned to them and said, "Which of you doesn't work on the Sabbath? If your son or your cow falls into a pit, don't you rush to get him out?"
And they had nothing
to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable.
"When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him."
Joy?
Number 9?
Yes.
"If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this man your seat.' Then, humiliated, he will have to take this important place."
"But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you.
For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted."
Brother Jeff?
Yeah. "Then he also said to him who invited him, 'When you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back, and you will be repaid.
But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind."
"And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just."
Okay, that's where we'll stop. Did you get the point? Well, let's see. Let's start at the beginning here. So what's the setting for this parable? Who invited Jesus?
Pharisee.
Yeah, one of the ruling Pharisees invites Jesus to dinner. And it was the Sabbath. It was the day of rest. And this was an ongoing, seems, controversy that Jesus had with these fellows. They didn't want him to do good on the Sabbath day. And so he tells them, if you're, and I guess the translation that was read, it was, if your son or an ox falls into a pit, and the King James is either a donkey or an ox, so I don't know if there's an equivalent there between son and donkey, but just kidding, David. But we would pull them out, right? You'd go. You don't have to think twice about it. If something that belonged to you was in trouble on Sunday, you would help make sure that that animal or that son was rescued. And so Jesus is saying, what's the problem? I'm healing. I'm making whole on the Sabbath. Why can't you see that that's the right thing to do? But then he tells a parable, because the parable that we're looking at, what does he notice as he's invited to this dinner? What does he notice about the guests? What are they doing? I guess there were not little name cards at the door. And so everyone was trying to get the best seat. Now, I guess we have to try to understand this a little bit, or this is the way it was explained to me, was that it was like having being in a U-shaped table. And actually they had little tables or little places where three people would recline on some cushions on the floor around this little table where the food was set. And the closest you were to where Noah is, that he would be the chief. This is the seat of honor right here, right in the middle of the U. And if you sat over here, well, that was second best. The right hand would be first, so you should be sitting over here, right? These would be the seats of honor, right? Or the little tables around him. And then the further you got away from that, you know, if you sat over here somewhere, well, that was the least important place. So if the mayor came, where would he sit? Well, he would sit there, or, you know, you understand, he would get the seat of honor. So the people were trying to, and you could picture this, you know, or I can try to picture this, the people in their long robes, the Pharisees, they're stumbling over the tables, trying to get to the best seat, you know, and who's going to get there first, and it might have been quite comical, and Jesus is just watching this, and he says, you know, I really need to help these people. I need to tell them a story that will instruct them and show them what's really in their hearts. And so what does he do? He tells this story. And what was the story? When you are invited to a wedding feast, what should you do?
Take the lowest seat.
Yeah, start over here. Sit here, okay? Sit here, because when your host sees you sitting there, he's going to come to you and say, oh no, you don't belong there. Go sit right up next to me. And then everyone's going to say, whoa, look at him. He's a really important guy. But instead, no, you go right next to the bridegroom. And the host says, Jared, I'm sorry. Sorry, that's not your seat. Go sit over there. And then how do you feel? You feel like that, right? You feel little, right? Have you found that there is always someone more important than you? Have you found that out? Have you found out that someone can always do something better than you can? Can someone play basketball better than you? I know that's hard to believe, right? And we have that, if we're honest, I think we have a little bit of that. A dad would say to us, we're all inoculated with pride. You know what that means? You know what inoculation is? Maybe it's just a little bit. But it's enough for us to have that, I was going to say disease, that sickness of the soul called pride. Why is that so important? Why? Because it seems that pride is at the heart of sin. And Jesus was trying to teach them something about what was in their hearts. So that's the earthly story, the heavenly meaning. I think pride goes along with selfishness. We had that yesterday, right, with that man who built the bigger barns. Was there a measure of pride in that? Look what I've accomplished. You know, look at my success. Look what I can do, and I'm just going to make it bigger. And I'm going to put my name across the barn, and it's going to say Trump. That's what it's going to say right there. Everything's going to say Trump. All right, in big letters, flashing letters. The other thing I think that we see when we tend to promote ourselves is that we put down others. Did you ever see someone who wants to be, you know, the chief or above, and in doing so they either talk bad about someone else or push them aside, or they go to the boss and they say, well, you know, that person did this and that. And what are they really trying to do? They're trying to promote themselves at the expense of someone else. You see that seat, Jaron, that's really where I'm supposed to sit. But you're there because you think you're better than me.
Never,
right? Right. But and it's sometimes we laugh at it, but I think sometimes we're honest. We might tend to catch ourselves putting ourselves forward instead of taking that place of lowliness. And so I think it's a very practical lesson that Jesus was trying to teach them. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, abased. Is that what it says? And whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Here's something you could write down. The way up is down. The way up is down and the way down is up. Now you got it, right? Jesus turned it around. Turns it around for us. You want to be exalted? Then learn to come down. You want to be honored? Learn to take the lowly place. You want to be great? Be the servant. Who had a problem with this? Besides these wedding guests, who else had a problem with wanting to be first?
Pharisees,
the Sadducees, right? They would walk around. They wanted people to see them. They'd pray on the corners. They'd stop. Why don't we should do that, right? Just go on the corner and watch me pray. That's what they did. And when they would give, what else did they? It says they would sound the trumpet. I'm going to put money in the offering plate. Da 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 da. Dropping all their little pennies in there. Who else had problems with this? Besides the Pharisees?
Disciples.
The disciples of Jesus. What were they always arguing about on the way? Huh? Who's going to be greatest? And Jesus, I think, you know, well, I know he was patient with them, but how many times did he have to correct them? And then there was that dear mother. Jesus, I have a wonderful idea. Could I just talk to you? When you come into your kingdom, wouldn't it be wonderful if my two sons sat right next to you? Right next to you. One on the left and one on the right. And what did Jesus say? That sounds really nice. But it's not my place to give. But are they willing to drink the cup of suffering that I'm going to drink? And then when the other disciples found out about it, they were upset. Was it James and John? I think so. James and John. Who do they think they are? Trying to get special treatment. And so they argued among themselves. You see, pride and selfishness is at the heart of every controversy, it seems. We want our way. We want to be first. We want our opinion to be valued. We want people to listen to what we think. And that's right, and that has its place. We ought to value one another. But when we think we have the only right opinion, when we think we need to be heard loud and clear, maybe there's some pride in our hearts that God wants to remove. Reminded too of a story that Jesus, he had that Last Supper with his disciples. And you remember what was customary to do when you came to someone's house? Remember, it wasn't done by Simon. What was he supposed to do? Simon, he didn't do it for Jesus. Wash his feet, remember that? Right? Wash his feet. And at the Last Supper, the disciples all came in. And so who washed their feet? Peter?
Jesus
noticed that nobody took the time, nobody even thought about taking the place of a servant. He said, well, I want to teach you a lesson. And so he takes the towel and he takes the basin of water, and he goes to each one of the disciples and he washes their feet. And what was the lesson? The lesson was, you call me your teacher, if I have washed your feet, if I have taken the lowly place, the place of a servant, then you ought to learn to wash the feet of one another. You need to learn to serve one another. I'm thankful for the gracious service that we have here at camp. And I'm thankful that we're taught to serve here at camp. I remember a lesson that I guess Brother Gordon... Well, two things about camp that I remember. I was a junior counselor in the village one year. For a number of years, I was a junior counselor, but the head counselor that I served under, the day that we were leaving, he left me a little booklet. And it was on, I forget the title, but the thought was that lowliness of heart. And I looked at that and I thought about that. Maybe he saw something in me that wasn't lowly in spirit. Thought I needed that. After being with me for 2 weeks, here, Philip, this is what you need to read. Learn to come down. Learn to be lowly in spirit. And then another time, we had finished the camper season, and we were getting ready for Labor Day. And Brother Gordon Gardner would usually gather the staff that was staying over, and we'd have a little staff meeting. And there were a lot of little jobs to do to transition from the camp season to the camper season to the Labor Day retreat. And always things had to be moved around, mattresses, and there was a whole lot of things going on. But one of the jobs that he gave me to do, and it was interesting because I was supposed to be responsible for Nonantum. We had people that came from all over, and so we not only used this area of Camp Watch Rock, but they used the village, the cottage, and even some of the men they put up in Nonantum. And so I was responsible for the men that were in Nonantum, and I remember they were so gracious. This group of men I know came from Maryland, Brother Jack Chow's church, and I had to tell them that here was your wash basin. Welcome to Pilgrim Camp. This is your bathroom here. Here's your wash basin. And they were so gracious, and they had to sleep on those little cots. But they were here to see God, and I think that that God met them. So that was one of my responses. But the other responsibility that Brother Gordon and Gardner gave me was to clean the men's room. So I was part of that crew. And that was fine, you know. We all need to learn to clean the bathroom. It's a good thing to learn. You clean the dishes, you also need to learn to clean the ladies' room or the men's room. And just learn to take... And he said in a way, then he said to me, you know, you have a little bit of your mother and your father in you. Now, I'm not sure what that all meant, but it meant something to him. And I took it to mean that, well, maybe I needed to learn to humble myself a little bit. And so whatever we do, whatever our job is at camp, whether we're the head counselor or whether we work in the office or whether we work on grounds or whether we're in the kitchen, we need to learn to serve one another and not look for place. God has to teach us that. And he teaches that us over and over again. Just two verses that I wanted us to look at. And this first one is in Romans 12. Verse 3, Romans 12:3. Someone has it, they want to read it nice and loud.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Got that? Don't think more highly of yourself than you are. But think, it says, soberly, rightly, right judgment. God has given each of us a measure of grace. Thank God we're not what we were. God is working in each of us and has poured his grace into our lives. So when we look at one another, we don't compare ourselves with one another. We don't say, I'm better than that person. I'm not as bad as that person. But we look at one another and say, there I see God's grace at work. God is working in each one of us. And we serve in the grace and the ability that he gives. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Someone has that? Maybe you could read verse 3 and 4 and 5. Sorry, 3, 4, 5. Nice and loud.
Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus.
And then he goes on and he tells us that Christ was humble, humbled himself. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. More significant, I like that. Now can we take this morning? You think we can apply this or ask the Lord to apply it to our lives? But I don't want to think that I'm more significant than someone else. Everyone is important. Everyone is significant in the body of Christ. Did you know that? Paul teaches that. Your body has many members. Do we say one member is more important than the other? Do we say the thumb? Well, it is, but do we say that the pinky is not as important as the toe or the eye, the ear? And even though they have a separate function, they all are needed for the body to function properly. And I don't say to my hand, well, you're not really that my, you know, I'm a lefty, so I don't say to my right hand, well, you're not really important. I don't need you. And how can we say that in the body of Christ? And so let nothing be done out of selfish ambition, rivalry, that should not be named among the saints. There's no place for that in the body of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It seems in this church there were people that were in competition. They couldn't get along. And so Paul had to teach them this way of humility. Be clothed with humility. Who do we want to be exalted? Who? Me? You? Who do we want to be exalted?
Jesus.
Jesus. And just this thought in closing. They came to John the Baptist and they said, John, you know, this, your cousin, or maybe they didn't say it that way. They said, this fellow Jesus, you know, he has more followers than you. So what did John say? I must decrease. He must increase. I must decrease. He must increase. And so, a good prayer for us. Lord Jesus, you be exalted in my life. Lord, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be heard. I want others to see you, Jesus. I want you to be glorified. And if God uses us to speak or to bless someone else or to pray for someone, let's not allow the pride that the enemy would like to cause rise up within us. Let us not allow that to happen. Get thee behind me, Satan. Lord, clothe us with your humility. Make us willing to serve in lowliness of mind. Help us to be like you. Lord Jesus, you be exalted. You be honored. You be lifted up. Jesus, you increase and let me decrease. Now, it's good again for us just to talk to the Lord in our hearts. Let's sing together in our white book, Not I, But Christ. Let's stand as we sing.
of myself, dear Lord, oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it might be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. Not I, but Christ, to gently soothe in sorrow. Myself, dear Lord, oh, to be lost in Thee, oh, that it might be no more I, but Christ that lives in me.
All the ladies on verse 3. Christ. Together. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it might be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. All the men now in verse 4. Not I, but Christ, my every need supplying. Not I, but Christ, my strength and health to be. Christ, only Christ, for body, soul, and spirit. Christ, only Christ, live then. Myself, dear Lord, oh, to be lost in Thee, oh, that it might be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. Together, Christ, only Christ, there long will fill my vision. Glory excelling soon, full soon I'll see. Christ, only Christ, my every wish fulfilling. Christ, only Christ, my all in all to be. Saved from myself, dear Lord, oh, to be lost in Thee, oh, that it might be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dad, pray with us, please.
Lord, you've heard this prayer. We pray that you will cause us, Lord, to humble ourselves so that you might come forth. Jesus, let others see you in us. take greater possession, full possession of our lives, yes, and glorify your name in us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let me just remind all of us, staff especially, that this afternoon we meet at 4:15 for prayer, and everyone is invited to join with us with this, our staff prayer meeting of the week, 4:15 in this room. God bless you.